Avengers Endgame LTM mode hits Fortnite, and more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is The Latest in Tech News, and you're in the right place. My name is Taylor Merrick, and outside of our feature story today being, well, the mighty Thanos returning to Fortnite, we'll also be taking a look at the rise and fall of Facebook's memory economy. We'll also be looking at how to fix Gmail's cluttered design with a simple Chrome extension, and I bet passed right through and over your head. We'll be getting into that, and also we'll be looking at the PlayStation 5 price, release date, and spec details. Everything we know so far. So, with that being the case, before we can get into the news, let's take a look on Today in Tech History. Alright, at this point in time, you're probably wondering, hey, isn't there any trivia or did you know facts? I haven't had time. Today's been a very busy week. I've been putting essentially the finishing capstone on a project that I will be releasing more details about on May 1st, right here on the site, on the podcast, on the YouTube channel, on the social, on the email, everywhere. So you'll definitely, if you haven't already, make sure you're notified, subscribed, following, in tune, ready to go for that starting May 1st. We have some exciting changes to make, and starting May 1st, I should finally be able to get the show back on track. If you're wondering why I've been having some spotty episodes throughout the month of April, it's mainly because I have a super secret project that I've been working on, and obviously that either I can do the show tonight, or I can work on the project and make sure it's finished. I just did the final draft run, running through every scenario, every situation with the whole entire thing, and it looks great. You guys are going to love it. So obviously stay tuned for more. So I just wanted to make that announcement really quick. So let's see what we have today in tech history. So being that today is April 26th, 2019, on this day in 1999, the Chernobyl virus was released, also known as the CIH Chernobyl virus. It's a first virus known to target the flash BIOS of a PC, triggering it, erasing hard drives, and disabling PCs, and this mainly affected computers in Asia and Europe. One of the most destructive viruses in history, Turkey and South Korea alone reported 300,000 infected systems. And finally, on this day in history, in 1960, IBM announces Stretch supercomputer plans. IBM sends out an upbeat release on supercomputers and its own Stretch, also known as the IBM 7030. The $10 million and up class computers are the world's fastest and most powerful. Yeah, in 1960. They are similar to the Stretch computer, which IBM is now completing for the Atomic Energy Commission at Los Alamos, New Mexico. IBM will now contract with business firms and government agencies to build Stretch-type computers. They can complete 100 billion computations in a day. The new machines are 75 times faster than a large-scale IBM 704 computer, and it's part of the Computer History Museum's permanent collection, in case you didn't know that. And, well, now you know. And with that being the case, let's head on over to today's feature story. Alright, feature story, mainly the patch notes for Fortnite version 8.5. Yep, the Avengers mashup, the endgame, everything that dropped. So, in case you've been living under a rock, this is essentially, well, the conclusion to the Avengers trilogy and arc and everything that the MCU universe has been leading up into and tying within 21 movies throughout the past decade. And wow, quite an accomplishment and a feat. I haven't seen the movie myself yet, so don't spoil it for me or anybody else who hasn't seen it, guys. Give it a week or two. And if you're really eager to spoil it, not here, just do it somewhere else. Go outside and yell it to the moon. I'm sure you'll spoil it to some grandma walking your dog, and the dog will go up and bite you on the hand because, well, you know, dog probably wanted to see the movie, so that's your own fault. But it's hit Fortnite, and in case you're wondering, there are no spoilers, but there are some pretty cool LTM game modes that you can now play. Epic has just released the patch notes for, well, this was April 25th, so yesterday's update featuring the limited time Avengers mashup and more. Here's everything you need to know. Well, what's new? Endgame, a limited time mode. Join the battle for the Infinity Stones. Fight as the Chitauri and Thanos, or wield Avengers items in the Endgame LTM. And I actually have a trailer that goes along with it. It's cool, it's fun, it's amazing. You actually jumping in the game itself and playing is where the fun's at. So, in summary, here's how it works in case you haven't played it. And in case you have been playing it, wondering, well, what the heck and what's going on? Well, I got some details for you guys. So the summary is, Thanos and his Chitauri army invade the Battle Royale Island in search of the 6 Infinity Stones. So, here are the details. Endgame features a team of heroes fighting to stop Thanos and his army from claiming all 6 Infinity Stones. Both teams respawn when eliminated until the other side completes their objective. One side is the hero team. Heroes respawn when eliminated until the enemy team has found all 6 Infinity Stones. This is basically a 20v20 map, so you'll be assigned at random to either the army or the heroes squad. Heroes start with a treasure map that leads directly to a mythic Avengers item. Other Avengers items can be found in chests throughout the map. The goal for the hero team is to destroy the Chitauri army and defeat Thanos. Team Thanos is comprised of Chitauri invaders and Thanos himself. Chitauri invaders start with a powerful laser rifle, an anti-structure grenade attack, and a jetpack that lets them briefly jump high into the air. The first Chitauri to recover an Infinity Stone will be transformed into Thanos. Thanos has a powerful punch, a destructive beam attack, and the ability to jump high into the air and then smash anything in his way when he comes back down. Each time an Infinity Stone is claimed, Thanos' abilities grow more powerful and the Chitauri gain health. So, if the Reality Stone Red is captured, health and shields are doubled. If the Soul Stone Orange Stone is captured, Siphon is activated, granting Thanos shields only. If the Mind Stone or Yellow is captured, jump height is doubled. If the blue stone or the space stone is covered, ground pound AoE size is tripled and damage is multiplied by 6. If the time stone green is captured, big knockback added to each hit, damage amplified by 3. And if the power stone or the purple stone is captured, laser damage is increased by 6. If Thanos is eliminated from the match, another Chitauri will become him after a short wait, unless Thanos is the last one standing. If Thanos and a Chitauri find all 6 Infinity Stones, heroes will no longer be able to respawn, and obviously if the heroes die, that's it. Game over. The goal for Thanos and his army is to find the stones and then eliminate the remaining heroes. Now, obviously, on the other side, if you're the heroes, the army has 100 respawns available to them. If the respawns run out, essentially whoever's left standing will be eliminated until Thanos obviously himself is left standing. And if Thanos manages to wipe all the heroes off the map, Thanos wins. But if the heroes manage to eliminate Thanos, last one standing, the heroes claim victory. So from what I've seen so far, I haven't been able to play it myself. Seems like a very fun game mode. Have you guys been able to play? Let me know down in the comments section below. I'd love to hear if you guys are having fun with the new map so far, if you're frustrated in an Infinity Stones landing at random. It turns out either Thanos or anybody in his army can go and capture the stones. So a good objective is don't build a structure around the stones if you're a hero, because the enemy can just walk right in and capture it unbeknownst to you. There is no indicator that it's being captured. You literally have to sit on the stone and look at it and make sure nobody captures it for it to happen. And if you're the enemy, obviously you just can walk up to it and capture it. It's like a 5-second cap time. But yeah. Items. What do the heroes get? Well, you can get Iron Man's gauntlets, which allow you to float and hover in the air, shoot bolts from your hands for 35 damage each, and yes, they auto lock on target. You can also get Cap's shield, which will allow you to deflect any amount of enemy attacks shooting at you, lasers, but it won't protect you anything if you get shot in the back. You can also take Captain's shield and throw it and hit an enemy, and if you're lucky, you can usually crit for 375. You can also get Hawkeye's bow, which has an explosive bow feature and a grapple feature, and you can switch in between that. And you also get Stormbreaker, Thor's axe, which, yes, you can throw and will cause damage and come back to you, and you can also leap with it. Now, heroes start out with a base 300 shield, 300 health, and it remains that way throughout. And as for the Chitauri and Thanos, well, Thanos obviously starts with more shield and more health, but the Chitauri army starts with 175 shield, 175 health, and it only, well, okay, never mind. I believe either 125 or 175, and it goes up from there up to a cap limit of 250 each shield and health. So that's what I've been able to find out so far. It's been fun, and I'm really looking forward to getting into playing to it. Keep in mind, it is a limited time mode, so it's only going to be here for the next couple weeks, and then right into the vault it goes, and well, hopefully it'll come back again. But this is, from what I feel, a much more balanced version of the Thanos. Remember when Thanos just dropped into game and you're like, oh, okay, everybody beat him up, go away, I low system mechanic. So random pop-up popped up on my screen, so I had to yell at it, and it went away. See how that works? Technology, great like that. So, yeah. Now you know, in case you didn't know. I feel like this is better balancing towards, you know, instead of just Thanos landing on the map and then just completely wiping everybody, it actually can create some really fun, hectic, crazy moments, really clutch moments, moments of complete and utter victory, or crushing, humiliating defeat, depending on whichever team you're on. It's kind of interesting. I gotta play around with it a little bit more to find out how much I like it, but so far I like it so far. And if you guys enjoy it, hey, let me know down in the comment section down below. Moving on to our next article, Wired has a really interesting article out here. And by the way, this and any other article we cover in today's show can be found by going to technewsgadget.net/104, or if you're listening in a podcast app of your choice, you should just be able to swipe or tap, or however you get more information or more details, and simply tap on the article title and it'll take you right to it. So, with that being said, Facebook's Memories feature, where it shows you pictures and posts from a day in the recent or far gone past, used to be one of the favorite things about the platform. And the author goes on to say, I mean, I have posted some hilarious things that my son said when he was little, and that time I spent on a reporting trip to Area 51 was seriously cool. Heck, I've reposted it 3 years in a row. Now, though, I think Memories is the platform's most cynical element. It's a cheap ploy to keep us creating new posts, keep us interested and engaged, at a time when our interest is starting to drift away. And my regular reposting introduces a bit of a plot twist here. The Memories feature might work in the short term to keep us coming back, to keep us reposting, to keep retraining the algorithm as to what memories we really value, but long-term, it's Facebook's Ouroboros, the snake, that eats its own tail. If at some point, when we stop posting anything new, Facebook will inevitably hit peak memory, and the site's newsfeed will collapse upon itself, a heap of reposted content from the year before, 2 years before, 4 years before. I don't know what's happening on your feed, but it feels like we're getting somewhat close. A recent scroll through mine showed some updated profile pictures, a handful of Instagram pictures that were cross-posted to Facebook, and no less than 5 memories. I suspect if I hadn't been spring break and Easter/Passover, there wouldn't have been much new there at all. Let's be honest, Oblivion is a fate this feature, and all of Facebook really, deserves, in light of the constant flow of revelations that show just how much Facebook views our contributions to its database in terms of cold, hard cash and opportunity for monetization. It's really no surprise that turning your nostalgia into a digital economy was a cynical calculation from the start. Offering you a memory from days gone by every day so that you share it once again can, I guess, be called engagement, but it's pretty cheap swill. And since the newsfeed is already a bit of a wasteland of algorithmically curated deck that fills your predetermined filter bubble, perhaps peak memory will lead us on a slide down into the slough of eternal repetition, which will finally be the end of our time on Facebook altogether. So, that's all I'm going to tease about this article so far. It actually gets into some really interesting points, and I just want to highlight a couple. Main one being that, how often do we want to start using this memory feature before it actually starts getting boring and we don't want to look at it anymore? It's like, look, I understand it was fun, but like, seriously? I mean, I understand it was an important memory, but it's not that important. I need to keep reposting it. And the article goes on to explain that even reposted stuff, like a picture of a car they took, is being used in an ad that they looked at for a car that's for sale through the Facebook ad system. And they're like, wait, what's going on here? I don't know. Have you been enjoying the Facebook memory features or on this day? I mean, to some extent, I get it. It's interesting, it's fun, it's cool, it's engaging, but it doesn't really have that stick factor. It doesn't really have that anymore. Are they just getting lazy, or are they just monetizing on top of it? Is this some cheap ploy that they threw in to hopefully grab some cash? Because interest on Facebook was waning long before this feature was introduced, and seeing as how they took a huge hit, I believe it was last year, or the year before, is either 2017 or 2018, Facebook actually lost 15 million users. It's essentially plateaued and stagnated here in the United States in terms of growth. There isn't any more it can go in terms of gaining new users and new tractions. They've moved on to other things. It's become the cool, the norm, the thing everybody's on. And now nobody wants to be on it. Keep in mind, a lot of the older generation isn't on it as much as the younger generation is, but then again, the younger generation has moved on to other platforms and programs too, where they're spending most, if not all, their time anyways. So even if the older generation is on the platform, they're all talking now with each other and not with the other younger people so that initially introduced them. So they're kind of, I don't know. Facebook has a lot of interesting things to figure out what's going on with it, but this article, I feel, was a good look into that, and I hope you guys enjoy. All right, moving on to a tech tip of sorts. How to fix Gmail's cluttered design with a simple Chrome extension. Now, if you're annoyed by Gmail's cluttered design, you're not alone. Its lead designer from 2008 to 2012, Michael Leggett, recently spoke to Fast Company about how much it bugs him, and how he built a Chrome extension to fix said problem. Leggett created Simplify Gmail, a free Chrome extension that removes all icons from the left and right sides of the home screen. Every chat, folder, starred email, add-on, gone. The Gmail logo at the top of the screen is also removed. In the end, you're left with a nice, clear view of your primary inbox. And that's about it. It's a utilitarian approach to email that definitely isn't suitable to everyone, but those who obsess over a clean workspace will love it. And author easily would recommend this extension to anyone who needs to get through a huge stack of emails. Leggett has long specialized in helping people sort through emails. He told Fast Company that Google's insistence on adding other services to Gmail eventually led to the creation of Inbox, another famous project he led at Google. Now, in case you forgot, Google killed Inbox earlier this year to the dismay of many dedicated users, so Leggett decided soon after to release his extension to the public. So, let this be a reminder that if you like the lead designer of Gmail and are getting tired of Gmail's new features, you can always try fixing it with a Chrome extension. And the link to this will be in the article. It's a link to an article on Mashable called How to Fix Gmail's Cluttered Design. And finally, well, PlayStation 5. Here's everything we know currently, including price, release date, and spec details. Now, Sony has already revealed that the first details for the next-gen console most likely named PlayStation 5 if they keep to tradition here, will have PS4 backwards compatibility, include SSD storage, and support PSVR. Sony hasn't revealed a specific price point yet, but the PS5 won't be releasing prior to April of 2020. Before we proceed, it's once again worth noting that we don't know the final title of the next PlayStation console. We're using PlayStation 5 and PS5 as shorthand, but Sony could always pull a Vita on us and name it something completely different. Indeed, the PlayStation 5's lead system architect, Mark Cerny, has refused to explicitly call it the PlayStation 5 for the time being, simply referring to it instead as Sony's next-gen console. And with that disclaimer out of the way, well, let's see. Release date. Surely the question on everybody's lips, when is the PS5 coming out? Sony, as you'd expect, is tight-lipped on the matter, but in May 2018, the then-head of PlayStation, Gon Cordero, said that the PS5 was 3 years away. However, plans change, and it's also possible he was merely trying to keep a lid on the rumors that were flying around at the time, which were saying that the PS5 would be released as soon as 2019. Price? Sony has not stated how much this new console will cost, but it did say recently that the PS5's price will be attractive to gamers. So Mark Cerny, lead architect of the PlayStation 4, said, "I believe that we will be able to release it at an SRP suggested retail price that would be appealing to gamers in light of its advanced feature set." Of course, you wouldn't expect Sony to say anything different, but one gets the feeling that the company has learned from the PS3's exorbitant price tag and at the console's subsequent struggles, and PS4's more reasonable cost and subsequent success. So, specs. This is where Sony has been surprisingly forthright with new information. The company has confirmed the PlayStation 5 will contain an AMD chip that has a CPU based on the third generation Ryzen. It'll have 8 cores of the 7-nanometer Zen 2 microchip. The console will also support 8K gameplay, but this, of course, will be dependent upon TVs catching up. So you could probably start prepping now for what 8K TV you want to have so that you can line it right on up if you get the PlayStation 5. Graphics will be driven by a custom version of Radeon's Navi line. This graphics chip will support ray tracing, something which is starting to become popular in movies and video games. Although this is traditionally thought of as a lighting technique, Cerny says this technique could also improve game audio. In fact, PS5 will fully support 3D audio. The aforementioned SSD is a big detail too, as it means games will load faster and be able to handle more objects on screen at once than the current HDD-driven consoles. Characters and cameras could move faster through game worlds, as environments could be loaded in much faster than they are at present, and probably at more detail too. As one final detail, we know the PS5 will not go the route of the Xbox One S All Digital Edition, which doesn't include a disk drive. Instead, the PS5 will include a disk drive, so rest assured you'll still be able to buy a physical copy of the game and still pop a DVD or Blu-ray in. Don't know yet, though, what kind of discs the console will support. It's possible it could handle 4K UHD Blu-rays, which can carry around twice as much as a standard Blu-ray disc. And finally, the current PSVR will indeed be supported by the PlayStation 5, as will the PlayStation Move controllers. I won't go into details of our current VR strategy, Cerny has stated, beyond saying that VR is very important to us and that the current headset is compatible with the new console. So, whether a new PSVR device will ever come out, unsure about that, but that's all we know of the PlayStation 5 so far. And with that, that wraps up this episode of the Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I know it's a short episode, but I'm short on a couple of articles and short, obviously, on trivia. But we will be having a show tomorrow released on Saturday. Outside of that, new episodes every weekday. The Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and Facebook Watch. Be sure to click follow and subscribe so that you stay up to date. And if you enjoyed this episode, let us know. Double check that you're subscribed so that you don't miss out on the latest episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. Remember, for the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much keep being awesome, and I'll see you on the flip side.